And Father, to say thank you. We are so grateful, Lord God, for what you're saying, for what you're doing, Lord God, in this school, through our apostle, Lord God, through the men of God. We give you the praise and we give you the honor for it, Lord God. Holy Spirit, we do thank you. We do acknowledge you. We do honor you. We invite you in this class tonight. Open our ears, open our eyes, open our hearts that we might understand what the Father wants us to understand concerning prayer. We give you the honor and the glory and the praise for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, 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 amen. You know, sometimes I just feel so bad because I'm hearing, I'm seeing, I'm doing so many different things, and then I come here, and then all of this, it just starts to just come together. Sunday, Word of Life Christian Center, we had our apostolic supernatural victory Sunday. Amen. And I know that World Shakers had theirs the Sunday before to our online students. I don't think it's online yet. I don't know if they're going to do it at all, but you may have the opportunity to view it at some point. All we can tell you is that the impartations are just unbelievable, and it does not stop after the service. Amen. It does not stop after the service. What you experience tonight, first-year students especially, second-year students, you've been exposed to this before. Is what I was trying to explain to you about coming to class and your need to pray so that you can catch what Apostle is saying, okay? Because, I mean, that was just unbelievable, indescribable. And when we as instructors come behind him, you know, sometimes it's like, okay, where you go from here? but I'm excited because what I had in mind, 3:30, 4 o'clock this morning, it's like skip chapter 4 and go to chapter 5. And it's like, and I couldn't understand why. And it's like, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm just one of those sticklers, you know. You do chapter 1, chapter 2. But I know that with Mr. Bounds, we're not going to always be able to do that because the book is so big and there is so much to cover, that there are going to be times that we're going to have to skip some things. So online students, just follow me tonight because I've got several things on my agenda that I'd like to accomplish, and we're going to see what the Holy Spirit has to say. But we're not going to spend a lot of time on chapter 4. I am going to give you PowerPoints of chapter 4, and my aim is to go on into chapter 5. Chapter 4, the title, Living in an Attitude of Prayer. And what Mr. Bounds did, he took some men who have been known for prayer. And he talked about them and he gave us some examples of those men. He talked about Charles Spurgeon, Mr. Wesley, and I'm assuming he's talking about John Wesley. I wasn't quite sure because all he said was Mr. Wesley. Then he said Mr. Luther, Mr. Mueller. He even talked about Stonewall Jackson, amen, and said that Stonewall Jackson was a man of prayer, amen? So let me see if I can just give you some PowerPoints. These were just some things that I picked up in reading the chapter. My intent is not to go into a lot of detail. I may give you one or two things that's not in your book, as usual, okay? He says, there are and there ought to be set seasons of communion with God, when everything else is shut out and we come into his presence to talk to him and to let him speak to us. Remember that dialogue that I gave you, the definition? Yeah, that we ought to have set seasons of communion with God. And out of such seasons will spring that beautiful habit. Mr. Bounds calls it a habit of prayer. Amen. A habit. He wants prayer to become a habit of prayer. And he says, that weaves a golden bond between earth and heaven. Between earth and heaven. Now, you know, when I see that, you know, my first thing is Ephesians 2 and 6, talking about we're already seated, amen? Seated in heavenly places. You know, he's raised us up and made us sit together. We're already there, you know, so we're not trying to get there. Second-year students will recall from last year, Apostle taught us that we are to pray from heaven to earth. Amen? We always thought we had to pray from earth to heaven. But no, you're already in heaven. And what you're trying to do is make some changes on earth from your heavenly position. Remember that. Amen? Amen. Ephesians 2 and 6. Then Mr. Bounds goes on and he says, without these seasons of prayer, a set pattern in our lives, the habit of prayer can never be formed. You've got to have these seasons. These are just PowerPoints. Read the chapter, okay? Online students, read chapter 4. In every circumstance of life, prayer is the most natural outpouring of the soul. Mm-hmm. The unhindered turning to God for communion and direction. Now, our biggest problem is that we only turn to God in a crisis. As long as things are going good, we might utter a little Our Father every now and then. But man, when something happens, the flood, amen, the flood. I mean, people were calling on God. He was hearing from people he had not heard from in a long time. Amen? But we know how to do that in a crisis. Mr. Bounds says, whether in sorrow or in joy. You see, even in joy. In defeat or in victory. In weakness or in health. In calamity or in success. The heart leaps to meet with God, just as a child runs to his mother's arms, ever sure that her sympathy will meet his every need. That's the way we're supposed to go to God. Amen? Amen. Then in talking about Mr. Wesley, he said Mr. Wesley prayed he was a man who prayed a prayer with a purpose. And now that's something that I don't think we all think about too much. Praying with a prayer of purpose, or praying with a purpose. He says the definite and direct utterance when you pray with a purpose. It's a definite and direct utterance of one who knew that he had the ear of God and that God had the willingness as well as the power to grant the petition that he asked him. And he said that's the way all of these men were. You know, I mean, they knew that when they prayed, God heard them. Amen. And that God had the power to do what it was that they were asking him. Not only did he have the power, but he was willing to do it. Yeah. Amen? He says, these men prayed with purpose. To them, God was not far away in some inaccessible region, but near at hand, ever ready to listen to the call of his children. Another PowerPoint, I had it, prayers of the heart. God never fails to hear prayers of the heart. Now, we're going to get into that a little bit more. Because when we see that word heart now, you know, we used to think just spirit. But now you got to really look at the scripture. Is it spirit or is he talking about my soul? Is he talking about my mind, my emotions, my will, my conscience, my intellect? You know, what is he talking about? Amen. So he's talking here about prayers of the sincere. I just think of it here. He's talking about sincere prayers. And then a new atmosphere. When we acquire the habit of prayer, we enter into a new atmosphere. And that atmosphere is a heavenly atmosphere, as I told you from Ephesians 2 and 6. Remember Ephesians 2 and 6. Has raised us up, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Nothing but prayer can bring God and man into this happy communion. Amen. Another PowerPoint, walking with God down the avenues of prayer, we acquire, this is what Mr. Bowen says, When you spend time in prayer, when you spend time sincere prayers of the heart to God, communing with him, having a dialogue with him, he says, walking with God down the avenues of prayer, we acquire something of his likeness. Isn't that something? By praying. And unconsciously, we become witnesses to others of his beauty and his grace. Amen. And then he asks some questions here. Of how many of us can it be said that as we pass people in the street, we pray for them? Selah. Or if we enter into a home or a church, we remember the residents or the congregation in prayer to God. Now, I must say, you know, I do that sometimes. Amen? I do that. Amen. But it's a selah. You know, he doesn't want you to answer the question. He just wants you to stop and think about it. That this is something that you can do as a Christian. If you see somebody, you can pray for them. If you enter a home, you can pray for them, either coming or going, however you want to do it. Or a church. You know, I find myself sitting in some churches now and just thanking God. Because I'm just so excited to hear that they're in the word. Amen. Yes. And then he says prayer with so many of us is simply a form of selfishness. And I think our previous author talked a whole lot about that. And that's just where you pray just for yourself, your needs, your family. It means asking for something for ourselves and nothing more. You don't think about anybody else or even God's plan. And I think when I started this class, I told you it's all about God and it's all about what he wants. His purpose, his plan, his way, his will. Amen. It's all about that. From such an attitude, Mr. Brown said, we need to pray to be delivered. You don't just pray just for yourself. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So those are the PowerPoints. And I do want y'all to read chapter 4. It's good. The information is good. When he talks about all of these different men of God, who had an attitude all the time, had an attitude of prayer. Amen. But what I really want to talk about is the energy of prayer. Amen. The energy of prayer, chapter 5. Now, I don't ever look up words, but for some reason, I had to look up the word energy. Amen. And you can look it up, but these are some of the definitions that I found. It says the ability to be active, the physical or mental strength that allows you to do things. Number 2, it says a natural enthusiasm and effort. Natural enthusiasm and effort. And then another one was usable. Now, this is what I like. Usable power that comes, and he says, for example, from heat, electricity. And guess what I wrote? Holy Ghost. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Usable power that comes from the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's what I wrote. And then the other one was capacity. And I think that the word that I want you to keep in mind is power. Okay. When he's talking about the energy of prayer, I like to think of it as the power of prayer. He says capacity or power to do work. That's what energy is. Okay, praying as Christ did. Mr. Bounds starts this chapter by asking some questions, and he says, are we praying as Christ did? Do we abide in him? Are our pleas and spirit the overflow of God's pleas and God's spirit? Does love rule the spirit? Perfect love. Amen. These are just questions. And he's saying, you know, this is how Christ prayed. So if you really want to stop and think about, you know, am I praying the way Jesus prayed when he was here? Look at some of those prayers that he prayed. Amen. It was all about God and God's will and God's plan for man here on earth. Amen. That's the way Jesus prayed. We have every reason to fear that we are doing more of other things than prayer. You know, he said that before. One of the previous chapters, he said, as poor, and we know he's not talking about the LTMA churches, as poor as some of the churches are, they do more giving of money than they did in prayer, right. More time in prayer. Amen. For some, it's just easier. You know, it's easier for me to give my offering than it is for me to pray. This is what Mr. Bound says. Okay, I'm gonna say that over and over. All chapter five. Mr. Bound said. Okay, Mr. Bound said, this is not a praying age. Amen. It is an age of great activity. We're doing a lot of stuff. Amen. He said a great movement, but one in which the tendency is very strong to stress the seen. I thought Apostle talked about that tonight. The seen and the material, and I'll put in parentheses the outside, and to neglect and discount the unseen and the spiritual, and I put inside. Amen. And again, the scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:18. Apostle talked about it tonight. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So, you know, we're doing a lot of stuff, but are we doing the right stuff? You know what I'm saying? That's the main thing. Are we doing the right stuff? As Christians, are we praying? You know, are we praying? He tells us that prayer is the greatest of all forces because it honors God and brings him into active aid. When we pray, we are inviting God. You know, help us, show us, teach us, help them. Amen. Show them. Teach them. You know, it's not all just about us. Is this what you want, Lord? Is this your will, Lord? Amen. You see? So we're inviting him, and it becomes a great force. He says there can be no substitute, no rival for prayer. It stands alone as this great spiritual force, and this force must be imminent and acting. It cannot be dispensed with during one generation. Now, I do know, I can tell you, my grandma done prayed a whole lot more than I see people praying now. They prayed, and they prayed at church, and they prayed at home. He's going to talk about this in a few minutes. At home. I mean, we're going to come under conviction here, because he's going to ask the question, you know, are you having family prayer? You know? Are you having good old family prayer? But we're so busy, you know? We're just so busy. We're running here. We're running there. But we gotta stop, and we got to take the time, and we got to pray. And one of the main reasons is we got to teach the children to pray. You know, because if you don't teach them, who's going to teach them? They're going to grow up as a generation not understanding about prayer and not knowing how to pray. You know, you're learning how to pray and you want to teach your children how to pray. Like I told you before, when I came to Word of Life Christian Center, we had all facets of prayer. We had corporate prayer. We had, couples, you know, married couples. They would sign up and they would come and pray. We had family prayer. Now, I brought my kids. We came and we participated in family prayer. You sign up your little hour and then you come and you pray. Let's see, we had couples, we had family, we had corporate, and we had 24-hour prayer. You heard me talk about that. You know, like for 24 hours, I think we started like 6 o'clock on a Friday morning. We went to 6 o'clock on Saturday morning. And you signed up your hour. Yeah. And you came and you prayed. And normally, you know, we had an agenda. There were things that we were praying about, but there were things for the church. Oh, glory to God. Yeah. Things for the church. Amen. You know, and this is what you prayed. But, you know, and I can remember all of that. But he's saying that now this is not a praying generation. This is not a praying age. People have like pushed prayer to the side and say, I got to do this. I got to do that. And they're thinking that that's taking the place of prayer. It is not. Amen. All right. You know, we don't want prayer to be dispensed with during our generation. We want to pray and we want to teach our children to pray. He says the living church has an energy of faith to inherit the forces of all the past praying and to make it deathless. And remember, we found out that our prayers never die. Okay. And we have that energy of faith. Those prayers that have gone on before. But, he says, be careful. We cannot run our spiritual operations on the prayers of past generations. Can't run our spiritual operations on the prayers of past generations. And guess what I wrote in my little margin outline? Fresh. fresh. Amen. So we need fresh prayers. We need prayers from this generation. Amen. That, you know, there are things that are going on now that my grandma never saw. You know, so it needs to be fresh. I mean, you know, they're talking about, I can talk about election season. I'm not endorsing anybody, but I'm just saying what's going on now in the United States of America has never happened. It has never happened in any generation. But here we are confronted with that. And so we got to pray about this. Amen. As Christians, you know, I found myself, I was just getting, you know, just so, I don't want to say sad. But it's like so many things are going on, and it's like, Lord, we're supposed to be able to do something about some of this. You know, can you imagine if the body of Christ as a whole ever came on one accord? Amen. On one accord. Understanding how to pray and praying. You know, over there in what, 2 Chronicles 7:14? He says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Listen, humble yourself first. Amen. Christians, we have to humble ourselves. Then we have to pray. Then we have to seek his face. You don't just pray. You got to seek his face. Amen. And turn from our wicked ways. You know, he said, then I'll hear. And then I'll heal your land. So are we doing that? Are we doing that? You know, because the body of Christ, we are so mighty. We are so powerful. We are so full of this energy that we were talking about. We're just full of it. We're not using what God has given us. We're not using what Jesus died for us to have and to walk in it. Amen. So we need to pray. Amen. We need to pray. We need to learn how to pray. We need to learn how to pray effective prayers. Amen. And we don't want to be around here. We want fresh prayers. Yes. Amen. Yeah, my grandma's prayers, they're still alive, but I need fresh prayer for the day. He says, many people believe in the efficacy or the efficiency of prayer, but not many people pray. They believe in prayer, but they don't pray. Amen. Nobody in here is like that. Nobody, none of our students online are like that. Amen. Prayer is the easy. Now, this is Mr. Bounds. Now, y'all know when I say this is Mr. Bounds. It doesn't mean that I agree or disagree. I'm just telling you what he said. Mr. Bounds said, prayer is the easiest and the hardest of all things. It is the simplest and the most sublime, the weakest and the most powerful. He says, its results lie outside the range of human possibilities. The results of prayers, the results of your praying lies outside the range of human possibilities. They are limited only by the omnipotence of God. Guess what I put in my margin? Guess what I put? Supernatural. Our prayers are supernatural. Amen. I mean, when you're talking about outside the range of human possibilities, amen, outside that range. With humans, it's impossible. But when, you know, we look into God, it becomes possible. Amen? All right. Few Christians have anything but a vague idea of the power of prayer. The power of prayer. Fewer still have any experience of that power. The spiritual, and he used the word carte blanche, like a credit card that covers everything, you know, it takes care of it, and you probably don't have to pay nothing afterwards. Amen, carte blanche. Of the infinite resources of God's wisdom, his power is ever rarely used. We have all of this. We have all of this. We were teaching years ago, we used to have what we call word cells in homes or cell meetings. And we were teaching on prayer, believe it or not. And he's talking about, Mr. Bounds calls it carte blanche. But the teacher then, she likened our prayer to a pickup truck that we drive up to heaven's doors and we load it up. And then we bring it back home. You know, it's like whatever you need, you just go there and get it. I decided I wanted a semi. I didn't want no pickup truck. I want me a semi. Amen? Amen. So we're talking about the resources of God's wisdom and his power is rarely, if ever, used. Never used to the full measure of honoring God. Amen? Never used to the full measure of honoring God. And then he says prayer is a weapon. Amen. Prayer is our most formidable weapon, but the one in which we are the least skilled and the most averse or opposed to using. We do everything for the heathen except the thing that God wants us to do. We'll give them a dollar. Amen. They're standing by the interstate. We'll give them clothes. You know, we'll do all of that. But are we praying for them? Amen. He says we're doing everything except what God wants us to do. Amen. Prayer is the only thing that does any good. The only thing that makes effective everything else we do. There's nothing wrong with giving the dollar. But pray. Amen. You know, pray for that person. How they got to be in that condition, you know? Amen? Ask the Lord, open their eyes. Are you saved? You know, first thing is, are you saved, you know? God can do something about this. God can do something about your situation. Amen? Amen. So prayer is a weapon. And then he goes on and talks about the benefits of prayer. He says, in spite of the benefits and the blessings that flow from our communion with God, the sad confession must be made that we are not doing much praying. Fewer still pray with their families. There we go. Few of us still pray with our families the way our grandparents did. Amen. Fewer still are in the habit of praying regularly in their prayer closets. You know, most times you got a special place. I got a special place I pray. Amen. And it just me, and it just happened. You know, I just don't want to be bothered. I don't want nobody hearing me. Just leave me alone. Just I'm in here praying. Now, if we saw what was that movie again, y'all? War Room. Yeah. I went to see. Look, I went to see War Room, and I told him, I don't like no army pictures. They said, oh no, it's not like that. And I mean, yeah, it was very good. Now she had her closet. Amen. She had her closet, and then, you know, she showed you, this is what we do in here. We all should have a special place. Doesn't have to be a closet. Sometimes it's a bathroom. Sometimes it's a kitchen. Wherever you pray, amen? Find you a place to pray. And he says, our people, Mr. Bounds, here I go again. Mr. Bounds said, and I mean, this is not talking about everybody. This is not talking about LTMA churches. Amen? Amen. Mr. Bounds said, our people are not necessarily a praying people. Isn't that something? Yeah. They're not praying people. And guess what else he said? This is evident by their lives. Meaning if they were praying people, You know, their lives would look a little different from what it's looking right now. Amen. So people who pray must look a little different. Amen. Amen. And then he goes on and he says, prayer, a trade to be learned. Okay. Prayer is a trade to be learned, and it is a life trade. We must be apprentices and serve our time at it. Painstaking care, much thought, practice, and labor are required to be a skilled tradesman in prayer. Now, I need to put a peg there, because for some reason, I guess some people might think that when a person is born again, when they come into the church, they automatically know how to pray. They do not. Amen. I was a Christian for many years, and I knew Our Father. That's all I knew. I knew bless, and I knew take care. I knew help. Amen. But that's what I knew. Okay? I knew nothing. I had not been taught a thing about praying in line with the Word of God. I knew nothing about presenting God's Word back to Him. I didn't even know that there were even different kinds of prayer. When they gave me the book on the different kinds of prayer, I couldn't receive it. I said, this is just too much. This man talking about all these different rules, all this kind of prayer and that kind of prayer. I said, I don't understand that. And he said in the book, put it on the shelf and you'll come back to it. Years later, I came back to that book. And then I began to understand that there are petitions. Amen. There are supplications. There are intercessions. There are prayers of consecration. There are prayers of praise. There are prayers of worship. Prayers of thanksgiving. Then I began to understand. And then I could receive all of that. But the other thing, I had to be taught. And you know, I like to tell, you know, and I think I told you how. I mean, I had about, it was about five women. I watched them. Because when you come, I mean, you know, Word of Life Christians, and that was new in our area, you know, and these people, and they're speaking in tongues, and they're doing this. And so when I became a member, and I came by myself, you know, I didn't have any family. All my family was at the other church. Amen. We'll talk about that at another time. They were all at the other church, and I came. I was led to Word of Life Christian Center. But you know, it's kind of lonely. You know, when you come into a big congregation and you don't have nobody. I mean, I knew people, but you know, everybody was so intense and they were so focused on the Word and what was going on. So I just decided, I'm going to spy me out some people and I'm going to do what them people do. Amen. And I found out that they were coming to prayer meetings. You know, they were coming to corporate prayer. They were coming to prayer before service. And I say, okay, once I received the baptism in the Holy Ghost, now, well, I got to back that up. You know, because I received before I became a member. I hung around here. I'm sorry, I hung around for a while. You know, I hung around here so long on Wednesday nights and some Sundays, they actually thought I was a member. That's how long, you know. And then finally, when I acknowledged that I was a member, you know, people were surprised. They said, you know, I thought you were always a member. But anyway, I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I think, before I became a member. I'm pretty sure I did. And, you know, I could pray. I could pray in the Spirit. I said, okay, I'm going to do what they do. And then one morning, this was before we moved to this sanctuary, I was sitting down there and I said, Lord, I know you sent me here. I know I'm supposed to be here. You know, I say, fix this for me. And man, I mean, we used to pray back then. Oh my. Now we pray now, but we don't pray now like we used to pray them past prayers. Amen. Them past prayers. And all of a sudden, he said, stand. Well, Baptist girl stood up. I stood up. You know, I thought he was telling me to stand up. But what he was showing me, you know, and then I understood the stand after that. You know, it took me a little while to understand the stand after that. But there was a move in the Spirit. And he showed me I was in on it. Amen. And that just blessed me. Oh, it blessed me from that day forward that I was a part, you know, that what they were doing, I was doing. And I got socked in after that. That was just the end of it. That was just the end of it. It was so good. It was so good. It was so good. And I think this is a good point for me. I see I got 5 minutes left, 4 minutes left. I wanted to talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit with y'all. We're going to finish chapter 5 next week. I want y'all to read it. It's good. It's really, really good. I mean, this man, and I know we have maybe some pastors in here, and I do know that we have some pastors on the internet. He's talking about our leadership must teach prayer. They got to teach prayer. He says, where are the Christ-like leaders who can teach the modern saints how to pray? Do our leaders know we are raising up a prayerless set of saints? I mean, he's hard on y'all pastors. He says, where are the apostolic leaders? Well, we don't have to ask that question here. Amen. Who can put God's people to praying? He says, and he goes on. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I'll give y'all this. He says, praying apostles will beget praying saints. He said, a praying pulpit will beget praying pews. Amen. He says, none but praying leaders can have praying followers. Amen. I mean, Mr. Bounds was tough on leadership and prayer. Amen. There is a prayer that we use here at Word of Life Christian Center in our altar worker room. When a person comes up to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, I am going to try to put this on the prayer portal for everybody. Online students, I've had a few people here come to me about receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Some of you may not be filled with the Spirit. You may not have had the experience of being filled and speaking in other tongues. You need to know that you can receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit right where you are. The only requirement is that you be saved. That's the only thing that you need to do. Be saved and then ask God to baptize you with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. There are some scriptures that we give. Acts 1 and 8. Oh, the other thing is you can also, you don't have to bring a person to church. You can assist a person in receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Now, these are just the scriptures we use. There are other scriptures, but I'll go ahead and I'll try to put this one on the portal so that y'all can have access to it. The scriptures we use, Acts 1 and 8, Acts 2, 1 through 4, Luke 11, 9 through 13. And this is the prayer. Father, I believe with all my heart, based on the scriptures, that the gift of the Holy Spirit is meant for me. Just as I trust you for my eternal salvation by faith, so now I so trust you by faith to give me the fullness of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. When hands are laid upon me. Now, if you're doing this at home, you don't have to say when hands are laid upon me. We lay hands here, you know, just as encouragement, point of contact. That's all it is. That's all. Amen. But you can receive without. We pray with people over the telephone, you know, here at Word of Life Christian Center. You know, there is a time and, you know, an apostle might say, if you have a need, call in. And then whoever is on that day, we go over some of these scriptures. We may not go over all of them. And then we pray this prayer with them to receive. And then some, they receive. They receive. Amen. And so you may not want to say when hands are laid upon me. You say, I will receive by faith the gift of the Holy Spirit within. Thank you. And then wait for the Holy Spirit to give you the utterance. And then by faith, speak it out. Amen. Amen. By faith, speak it out. But I do want y'all to have this. And I want y'all to know that you can come in agreement with a person to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. You don't have to bring them to church. Amen. Amen. Just like you don't have to bring them to church to get saved. You know, you can do it right there. Amen. All right. Thank y'all so much. Good night.